Hi, because you're listening to this podcast, you know exactly how powerful a good podcast really is and how important the right guests are. And that guest could be you. The show today is sponsored by speakonpodcasts.com. They're the world's leading podcast booking agency for B2B and tech brands. And they get people like you on podcasts like this. Find out exactly how good they are by going to speakonpodcasts.com/leader. Fill in the form and they'll send you three podcasts that you should be on. Fuel your brand on podcasts. speakonpodcasts.com/leader. Hello and welcome to the Shiny New Object podcast. My name is Tom Ollerton. I'm the founder of Automated Creative. And this is a weekly podcast where I interview leaders of the industry about the future of marketing. And this week is absolutely no different. I'm on a call with Adam Palmer, who is Director, Creative Production Ops at GoDaddy. Adam, for those of the audience who don't know who you are and what you do, could you give us a bit of an overview?
Absolutely. So Adam Palmer, I'm currently with GoDaddy in the role of Creative Production Operations. This is my first foray into the brand side of the business, which has been amazing, very interesting. Previous to the role that I'm in currently, which I've been in for 3 years, I spent 15 years basically right out of college with Viacom, working at MTV. Out in New York City, and moved out to the East Coast to pursue that. I've worked in the brand creative side of the house there. So our work was mainly around promoting our MTV series, our tentpole events like the VMAs and the Movie Awards, and some of our pro-social campaigns, which was really just a balance of three very different styles of creative and promotion. So working at the in the cable industry, and then making a transition over to brand side about 3 years ago was a big change. Was really eye opening for me. As I said, the difference between the two styles of creative and the teams that you're working with has been really a welcome challenge in my career.
So are you a marketing book person? Do you have any recommendations? Do you ever buy marketing books for your team and insist they read them? And if so, which titles do you like?
I don't insist on any pre-read material for any team members, but I enjoy reading, the nonfiction side of things. The marketing book actually I'm going to recommend is, it comes from an author, Gordon McKenzie, who worked at Hallmark for the large portion of his career. The book is called Orbiting the Giant Hairball, very much out of sync with what I think a lot of other traditional marketing heady books, that I've seen, and I've talked to people who have, extolled the virtues of the marketing fads du jour. And this one is great. It comes from an author who was carving out his own role within a creative industry at Hallmark. It ended up with a title of Creative Paradox. That was Gordon McKenzie's title at Hallmark. And I love the idea, the premise of the book is basically the giant hairball. It's this morass. It's this series of rules and regulations, styles, and standing operating procedures for business, and how in the creative space we tend to not really fit within those buckets, right? The ideation creatively, the way that we go about our work and how we foster creativity, it isn't something that necessarily fits within those standing operating procedures of the day to day and how work gets done. It's very much kind of the stepchild in a lot of ways. So the whole premise of this book is how do you take yourself out of that giant hairball, and instead of getting stuck in it, how do you pull yourself out and orbit around it. So still, from a creative layer, you're still serving the greater purpose, right? Whatever that employer is or that client is, you're still applying the ethos of that brand or of that client. You're still serving the need, but you're orbiting around it. You're not pulled into the heavy rules and regulations. But I love it. I love how fun and really chill the book is. There's a lot of illustrations.
I need to know. I mean, that sounds nice conceptually, but how does that actually work?
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea is that you have this very rote process, right? Within an organization, within that structure, you're operating within these confines that are very much tied to timelines, budgets, and the creative process tends to really thrive outside of that. So it's not necessarily as rote, but the author brings up this idea of grope. And grope is in the
grope. Okay.
You're out there, you're groping for, tangible threads that you can start to pull on, right? And it's not necessarily a rinse and repeat process. So what I love about the book, the way that the author carves it out is very much that, you know, you have to make this sellable, right? You have to build this trust and build your grope process very much outside of that that rote factor. So some of the for instances, the author is talking about how he's basically creating a new staff, creating a new department within the company, and working with procurement to buy the furniture and design a very heady creative space, right? I think we've all kind of been in those office spaces that are, cubicle walls. Well, the author, being a creative, had this want to give his creative team a sanctuary instead of this cubicle space. So went with his procurement team and went bargain shopping, basically went to flea markets and and got these roll top desks. They bought some doors and stained glass windows and hung them from the as kind of partitions, hung them from the ceiling, and created this incredible sanctuary space for creativity to thrive. The rote side of things were like, procurement said, we don't have a line item that says you can buy stained glass windows. That's not part of our program here. And basically kind of tipped it on its ear and said, well, look, on the procurement side, we actually have about $5,000 per individual workstation. That's how much we have budgeted. And Gordon McKenzie and his procurement director said, well, actually, we came in at about $3,000 per workstation. So we can figure out how that fits into budgetarily our goals. We made goals. We made it cheaper to have these creative spaces. And I think it goes back to the mentality of like, it's kind of the spin that you put on it a little bit, to get that process that you need, to get the inspiration for the creatives, that's required to really, foster that process.
So how do you want people to remember this career where you've orbited the giant hairball?
Well, first you have to define the hairball, I guess. How would I want people to remember my career? If anybody remembers my career, that'd be fantastic in and of itself. I would love to be remembered to those who I've worked for, to my superiors. I would love to be remembered for challenging a lot of the practices, the common practices, and being able to articulate new ways of thinking and new ways of innovation within what we do from a day-to-day perspective, from a standpoint that's respectful, but also challenging that status quo, you know, really bringing a full set of tools to every assignment, to every project. I'd love to have a little bit of that rebellious spirit remembered. For those who have worked for me or my peers, I would love to be remembered a little bit differently, as a celebrating them for what they bring to the table. I've had the benefit of working with some incredible teams, both at GoDaddy and at my time at Viacom. I'd love for the incredible teams that I've played a small role in building and bringing people in to really feel like they have had a, you know, that they've been able to bring their full toolbox, think and ideate and innovate in their own way, on their terms, and doing so with a leader that helped them to be their true self and really challenge themselves.
So, quickly, what has been the best marketing tip that you've ever received that you find yourself sharing most often, either recent or back in days of your?
Yeah, there's so many tips, right? And so some of them pan out, and some of them fade a little bit. But one that I think for myself has stood the test of time and put it into practice as much as possible is really on the idea of pull, don't push. I've seen a lot of the push, and I've applied it myself. You know, when you don't align with the messaging coming down the pipeline or a certain decision that was made or initiative that is being pushed isn't really in full alignment or isn't the right concept or the right idea. I have seen and been party to a lot of that stalemate in my career, right? Where it's like, we've got to fight this, right? The idea of pull, don't push is such a great opportunity to show collaboration, right? It's not I'm not a no guy. I'm a, let's pull on that. And let's actually see what the essence of that initiative is, or the project, the assignment, the creative direction that we're putting into practice. I got this actually from a philosophical peer of mine that I worked with at MTV for 15 years, Jeremy Hammond. And we started off our career together and I got to see him from through his growth stages. He became a very philosophical leader to me. And this came from him directly, which I appreciate. And I put that into a lot of what I've done in my career is not being the no person. I'm not setting up an antithetical work stream. I'm not going through that stalemating process of, no, we're not doing A, we should do B. The pull is great because you are collaborating. You are looking at signing up for seeing success out of whatever initiative that you're pushing forward. And that collaboration becomes something that is, when you're seen as being part of the solution, that's when you get to augment what steps and processes are next, and how you evaluate, creativity, or how you evaluate the means to get you there.
This episode of the Shiny New Object Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Madfest, Whether it's live in London or streamed online to the global marketing community, you can always expect a distinctive and daring blend of fast-paced content, startup innovation pitches, and unconventional entertainment from Madfest events. You'll find me causing trouble on stage, recording live versions of this podcast, and sharing a beer with the nicest and most influential people in marketing. Check it out at www.madfestlondon.com. So we're at the halfway stage now. So we are going to talk about your shiny new object, which is Loom. So I know what Loom is. I'm a Loom user. But can you describe what is fundamentally a visual platform on a podcast?
Absolutely. I will do my best. I might look to you to fill in some of the blanks. I am in beta test user mode right now for myself and how I'm going to implement it. But I am hooked on this idea of utilizing people's time in the right way, and also to have messaging that that aligns with what I'm really trying to say or what point I'm trying to get across. So I, through my peers at GoDaddy, we started using Loom as a way of basically kind of subverting an email, a Slack, or God forbid, another meeting on the books. And what I love about Loom in a visual from a visual standpoint, what you're actually going to see when you create a Loom is the capability of utilizing video recording and desktop or mobile recording simultaneously. So what we always see is this little porthole view of the speaker overlaid with whatever it is that you're trying to convey, right? Could be somebody's timesheet, could be an order requisition, a legal contract, or it could be your meeting agenda, right? And you're just kind of going through that and speaking to it. It puts your face and your voice to what it is you're trying to get across. And I think a lot of us, and especially in this pandemic phase, we've got our calendars just impeded upon to a point where, the meeting in and of itself is great, but when you don't have time outside of the meetings, your productivity is going to lack. And I think it just gives less efficacy to the meetings. What I'm beta testing, as I said, Tom, I love the idea of giving people 25 minutes out of that half an hour meeting back by having a curated voiceovered, here's what I need to get across in this Loom. And I've given you all of the details that I need without incurring taking time away from your busy schedule.
So just to help the audience fully understand what it does, or to describe it from my perspective, is that you have your screen with your slides on it or your video on it or whatever you want. And then the bottom left-hand corner, there's a circle, about, I don't know, the size of a golf ball or something, with your face in it. And so you just press record and you go, hi guys, this is my presentation about where we should go for the Christmas party. Here's the first option. It's a hotel. The second option is a bouncy castle. The third option is a camping trip, whatever. And then that's kind of it. It's professional but unpolished, I would say. So it gets the audio across and it gets the kind of point across. But your innovative use of this is just saving time for presenting, right? Can you give me the exact uses that you've used this for? And can you give me examples of the pushback and the successes of it? Because I'm really interested now to try this at AC. So yeah, curious. Tell me more.
I think the Christmas party ideation is probably going to be an early use case scenario here. Now that you brought it up, so for me, it's within the team. We have standing hour long meetings, right? And really, what I'm looking at is how do I save that time and utilize a 10 minute. Here's what I see on our agendas, and walk through it in, hopefully clever detail, so that it's watchable, but it's also something that you can go back to it and watch it again. You miss something, you can come back to it. But it's more interactive than a text message or a note, an audio note. So our uses basically at this point are going to be looking at it as a standing meeting, but without having to have that interface. It's just kind of dispensing updates and information. So the weekly meetings are definitely going to be something that, in lieu of a speaker just spewing, how can I utilize this more fully to take away those standing meetings?
So let me see if I've got that right. So you will go, right, it's Monday morning. We're going to have this call at 9 a.m. where we kick off the week, and we've got five teams doing these five things, and we've got problem X, problem Y for team A and B. They're going to do that, and then whatever. Is that what you mean? You're doing a list, but with your face, as opposed to just sending a Google Doc.
Exactly. Walking through what needs to get done, prioritizations, kind of the tactical, where and when necessary. You're still, obviously, it's not an end all. You're still going to have the back and forth that's necessary. But if you just knocked out an hour a week and you've just solved for that time, taking that off of people's calendars, and you're not asking them to sit idly by and hear the rundown of what everybody's got going on, because they know that in the 5 minute loom that you've just created for them.
And how has this been responded to by your team?
Thus far, it just seems like people are into it, right? Like they understand that their schedules have been impacted in a negative way over the course of all of the meetings that have kind of landed on our books. So positive, there's still certainly the aspect of this that you need the back and forth, right? Which is still fundamental to, ideation, creative, or in production. But so far, good-ish. I'd like to see other people doing the heavy lift. I'd love for this to be kind of more institutionalized and send through your updates to the team in the same way, right? So that we have kind of a full team autonomous update giver in the looms.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to be a negative person about this, just for the sake of argument. Why can't you just send a list? If it doesn't require any back and forth, then you're just sharing information. Why couldn't you just go, look, these are the three venues for the Christmas party, choose one?
Totally fine. What I love though about this is you still get the human touch, right? You still get the signature. You're still there and present. And quite frankly, I think it also, that personalization of the message, you're pushing that up in the inbox a little bit more, right? The efficacy of having somebody who sent a personalized walkthrough, here are all the options, here are all the to-dos that we have on our list this week. I think that personalization gives people a little bit more higher level of attention when it's coming from a personalized speaker, right? In email, yeah, you can totally check that off the box. But if you're trying to get something across, you want to give emphasis to certain parts of what you're delivering. You want to have some inflection in your voice. And here's something that we're getting really excited about that we have to tackle this week, right? You get to have that opportunity with Loom. And I'm kind of excited about finding additional uses for it too.
So you're not going to like me to use the S word, but this is sales, right? Like, yeah, creative people sell ideas to other people, whether they call that sales or not. That's what it is, right? You're selling, you want the audience to quote unquote buy it, right? And creative people celebrate it when, oh yeah, they bought the idea. You've sold it to them. So what you're really doing here is you're adding like an emotional level of data on top of the facts, which increases the amount of people that are going to buy this thing, whether it is a Christmas party list or a to-dos for the week. Have I got that right? So what other use cases are rattling around your head? What would this be too far for, like, I don't know, like an anniversary present or something, but like where does this stop working?
What I would love to test into is actually utilizing this as a almost like an onboarding piece for in my day-to-day work with talent, featured subjects, right? We're going to have somebody on a series program, or we're going to have a host of a podcast as part of that talent recruiting. I would love to have that as part of the recruiting pitch, right? So
well, here's which this way, new idea. Like, that you, are you pitching the brief to the employee or them pitching themselves to you?
Both and either. I think it works both ways. But what I would love to see, I think this has reached a level of success if we're able to do that out external facing, right? So almost like a casting brief to an agent or to a management team for the talent that we want to work with. I would love to see that as like, okay, here are the five things that we want to do with your talent. How can we work together? Here's the brief. Really, again, just that personalization, that level of being able to emphasize parts of where you might not necessarily have the opportunity to jump on a conference call with a management team, or you're in casting. So really, this is tough to personalize in a way that you can jump on a conference call with, 10 different potential subjects for a web series or for a podcast. So I would see this as like, that's next level. If we're utilizing it in that way, if we're able to evolve the way that we utilize the tool, I would love to see that.
Unfortunately, we've got to wrap this up now. So I think I know what the answer to this question is, but if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would you like them to do that?
I miss personal contact over the course of the last couple of strange months to a year and a half at this point. We've talked about our love of camping and the outdoors. I'd like to have somebody come on a camping excursion with me. But if they were looking to reach out and touch base, would I love to see a Loom? Absolutely.
Great. And what's the best place for them to send that to?
I would go to my LinkedIn, Adam Palmer on LinkedIn, resident of Bend, Oregon, and current GoDaddy employee.
Fantastic. Well, look, Adam, that was an unusual and surprisingly enjoyable podcast. Thank you so much.
Tom, I really appreciate your time.
Hi, just before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you could take the time to write a review of the Shiny New Object podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever it's called these days, or whichever podcast provider you use. We're an indie podcast, so it would go a long way for us if you could just share the word and give us a bit of a support on those channels. That'd just be fantastic. If you haven't got time, that's also cool. And yeah, if you could tell your colleagues about the podcast, and also, if possible, don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love to hear your feedback. If you'd like to speak on the podcast or be a guest, or you think I'm asking the wrong questions, anything, I'd be super interested to hear what you think. So please email me at tom@automatedcreative.net. That's T-O-M at, I'm not going to bother spelling it. Anyway, you'll work it out. Thanks so much.